What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you get right with God. Today, we're on episode 45, and we're talking about legalism. What it is, why people are legalistic. This is kind of a follow-up to episode 44, where we talked about good deeds and how they don't get us into heaven, something we call the works gospel. When people are legalistic, their deeds become their badge of honor, and they condemn other people and say, I'm better than you. And it's oftentimes something that is not even required in scripture, but they make it out to be, this is what you must do. And if you don't do it, and if you don't do it my way, then you're condemned, you're going to hell. And we have people following a lot of different belief systems and putting them on people and condemning them for not following them and stuff like that. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's get into it. What is legalism? Here's a definition from Google. It says a strict adherence to law or prescription, especially to the letter rather than the spirit. So you have a letter or a law, and then the person who gave that law, they were talking about, there's a spirit behind the law. You know, in other words, what is the underlying meaning behind this law? Why was it given? And so a legalistic person, they take a law and they don't think about the spirit. They don't think about the reason why it was given. And they just say, we must do this at all costs. Okay. And they this dogmatic stuck on it. And it just, another definition of legalism is called the doctrine that salvation is gained through good works. Now, I don't usually use that definition, but some people will say the person that believes they can, you know, work their way into heaven, like we talked about last sermon, that they call them legalistic, or that is legalism. But I like the first definition, which it says is a strict adherence to the law, especially to the letter rather than the spirit. So it's important to understand why a law was given so that you're not stuck. So here's 10 examples we're going to go through them. These are common things that people are doing today that we call legalism. Now, I won't be providing scripture in this sermon, but you'll find the scriptures and references in the sermon notes. Let's just talk about them. Number one, fringes. So you hear black Hebrew Israelites today will tell you why you don't have no fringes on. The Bible says you must wear fringes. And that's true. The Bible says that. When you read the Bible and where it says fringes, it tells you why you should wear fringes. And the reason for it is to remember God's laws and to obey them. All right? That's the spirit behind the law. So today, now, we've had the law written on our heart, and we are not under the old covenant anymore. And so it's not necessary for us to wear fringes. Even when they did wear fringes, a lot of them didn't obey God. They didn't remember to obey God. It just became a fashion statement for Hebrews. So for them to talk about it now and say, you must wear fringes, and if you don't wear fringes, then you're displeasing God and you're in danger of hellfire, that's what we call legalism. God is saying, no, remember my laws and obey them. And the way you do that is through the Holy Spirit. If you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes into you. The laws of God are going to be in your heart, and they're going to come up in you automatically. And then from there, you're able to obey them if you yield to the Spirit's power. So I don't need no fringes to wear. Nobody needs to wear fringes, and you're not going to hell if you don't have fringes. You're not displeasing God if you don't have fringes. But if you want to wear fringes as a fashion statement, that's fine. It's not a sin to have fringes. It's not a sin not to have fringes. So that's the first one. The second one, and it's a big one, is the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath. People will get on you and say, look, you don't keep the Sabbath, or you're going to hell. Because that's one of the Ten Commandments. Okay? Here's the thing about the Sabbath. First of all, the Sabbath is the Saturday. You're supposed to take a rest because God said so. And there's tons of scriptures that talk about that. The spirit behind the law of the Sabbath was this. You know, take one day out of the week to rest, because we weren't designed to work 7 days a week. We need a rest. We need to rest our body. So rejuvenate yourself one day out of the week. That's what God is saying. And this is Israel that he had gave this law to. And he said, look, I know y'all was in captivity and y'all was working 7 days a week. Y'all was slaves. And he wanted to show them that y'all ain't built for that. If I created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, I know you got to. You're not built to do that. So that's the spirit behind the law. The spirit behind the law is take a day off. Now, being that you're in a captive society where you can't control your work days and stuff like that, you're going to have to take off a day when you are able to, when they give you a day off. You're going to have to take that day and say, this is going to be my Sabbath. It may be Monday. It may be Wednesday. It may be Friday. The bottom line is to take a day off. All right? Now, if you don't take a day off, it's not to say you're going to hell for that either. But you will feel the health repercussions from that. So God is saying, take a day off for your own personal sake. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. So we're not supposed to be submitting to a day. Okay? We need to just take a day off for ourselves. So we can't all scramble and say we got to get off on Saturday. No. Get off on a day that you can and take a rest. That's what the spirit behind the law is. That's what is what's being said here. But the legalistic person will condemn you for not taking the Sabbath. That's legalism. You're missing the spirit behind the law, the letter rather. So there it is again. Another legalistic saying you heard, Christians should not drink wine or beer. Okay. It's a sin to drink wine or beer. That's a legalistic statement. That's a legalistic mindset. The Bible says don't be drunk. Now, there are certain born-again people and saints who have been convicted by God and told, you know what, he told them, hey, you used to be a drunkard, just stay away from drinking, you know. So they're convicted for themselves that they shouldn't touch a drink, but they can't put that on other people. They're being legalistic if they do that. So Jesus turned water into wine. So it's not a sin to drink, but I would say it's wrong to go around telling people they can't drink because you feel convicted not to, or you feel like let's stay away from drink altogether so that we don't fall into drunkenness. Well, everybody is not weak like that where they fall into drunkenness just for having a drink. So you can't put that on people. So that's another legalistic thinking, that when you go around telling people you can't drink, drinking is a sin. It's not. So another one is using vulgarity or cussing or cursing. And when I talk about cursing, I'm talking about using specific words that people say is wrong. You shouldn't use fuck, shit, damn, piss, different words like that. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's, once again, that's a legalistic mindset where they're creating some kind of a law and then condemning people for breaking that law. Now, these words are not socially acceptable in certain environments and at certain times. And that's what we call a social sin. Okay, the Bible is against gossip. It's against using your words against people to make them feel bad or to demean them or condemn them. The Bible is against backbiting and spreading rumors about people. And you can speak evil against somebody without even using vulgarity. That's what the Bible is talking about. The spirit behind the Bible when it comes to our words is that. Not, oh, because you use damn or shit or some other common word, which is what vulgarity comes from. It comes from the common folk. That's what it was, common people speaking certain language, and the uppity people didn't want to use their terms, so they banned them and made them out to be bad. And so everybody began to adopt those practices, and then it became a thing where certain words in a particular culture or society couldn't be used because they were considered bad. Okay? Words are amoral. Okay? They're amoral. There's no sin in using any one of these words. So when you say fuck, damn, shit, or whatever, there's no sin in that. Okay? But anybody telling you you're going to hell for cursing or saying these bad words, they're legalistic. Okay? Now, we have a job to, as believers, to live at peace with all men, not to offend people unnecessarily. And so if that offends people, don't use those words around them. However, they can't come in your house and tell you what words you can and can't use. Okay? I have an article in detail about can Christians curse. That's the name of the article. And I encourage you to read it and see that God is not tripping about this. He used the words piss and dung, which is another word for shit, in the Bible. Okay? And you would say, well, Paul is in sin because he said shit. He accounted all his works and his theology training is dung. And that's another word for shit. Okay? So, or crap. Somebody says crap is a sin or pissed is a sin. Those are bad words. You can't say that. No, that's your social, that's a social sin. That's something you personally convicted by. Okay? You can't put that on other people. However, when we're in a setting where we know people feel that way, we cannot use those words and be perfectly fine. So I just, you know, say that again, you know, that using vulgarity and telling people they're in sin for that is another form of legalism. All right. Here's another one. Abstaining from pork. Some people will tell you that you're going to hell if you're eating pork. Okay, the Bible said that you shouldn't eat pork and a bunch of other unclean animals. The spirit behind that law was that there are certain animals that are not made for food, okay? They are unclean. They are toxic. These animals are bottom feeders. They shouldn't be consumed by humans. And so God told them, don't eat that. If you do, it's going to make you sick. That's the spirit behind that law. However, say, for instance, all you got is a pig and you're on an island and what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to just die because I'm not going to displease God by eating that pork. I would say it's perfectly fine to chop that pig up and eat it. Now, the spirit behind the law, once again, is to not make these foods our diet. A diet consists of something you eat on a regular basis. It's for some people to eat eggs and bacon on a regular basis. Well, bacon is pig and that's part of your diet. You shouldn't have that in there. Because it's not a good food that's healthy for you. And God is saying, don't do that. That's the spirit behind the law. Are you going to die and go to hell for eating pork? Not necessarily. You might get sick and die for consistently eating that stuff. Because studies show that all these foods, including pork, on that list that God gave us, are unhealthy for us. And they will make us sick and they will kill us eventually. However, if this is not in your diet, you're going to be fine. I will eat pizza, and inside pepperoni, pork is mixed in with pepperoni. Most people know that. And so when I buy a pizza, I'm not going to pull off all the pepperoni because the pig is mixed in there. I'm not legalistic like that. I understand that this is not my diet and that there are minute amounts of pork mixed in here with this. Now, I'm not going out and buying pork. I don't buy pork. My wife doesn't buy pork. We don't eat pork. Okay? We don't make that a diet for us. When we make pizzas at home, we buy turkey pepperoni because we have the option and we know that's available. We're not going to just buy, you know, pepperoni that's mixed with pork. But you see how we do it? Now, I'm not going to condemn you if I come over your house and you got pork on the thing. I'm not going to eat it. But I'm not going to condemn you and say, you're going to hell for that. I'm not going to do that. Okay? And so we can't be like this with people and about foods. However, we need to understand the spirit behind the law. He gave us a list of foods that are unhealthy for us, that we're eaten by other people. They consider it food, but we shouldn't. We should say we shouldn't be eating that. But however, there are still nutrients and different things in these foods, and so protein and different things like that. And so if you eat them, it will sustain you. And if all you got is that, you should go ahead and bless that food and eat it and go on about your business, but don't make it your diet. That's all he's saying here. Here's the next one. Church membership. You've heard it said, do not forsake the fellowship of the brethren. All right, the assembly of the brethren. You've heard that scripture. That's been used time and time again to beat saints over the head and tell them that they must be in a church at all times. If you leave one church, you better make sure you find another one, because you in sin if you are not in a church for too long. Okay, that ain't in the scripture. First of all, and we have a whole article about that. As well, actually two articles about that, the right fellowship and then another one about the wilderness church. All right. You're legalistic if you're telling people they're going to hell if they're not inside of a church. And I've heard pastors tell people on their way out, well, you know, God's not going to bless you now that you're not part of my church now, you know. And I've heard people tell me today, me and my wife, we're not a member of a specific local church now. And people will come at us and act like we are in sin for that. And we know we're not. We know we're right with God because God is in us, you know. And when God leads us to a local fellowship, we'll join. We're not against that. The scripture was about people who had a local fellowship. It was a good fellowship, and they were forsaking the fellowship. They were allowing business and family matters and other things to get in their way to where they couldn't go to church. They couldn't go to the fellowship. And they were told that they were forsaking the fellowship. They shouldn't do that. Now, what if you have a fellowship and you want to go, but it's full of wickedness? People are not dealing with sin. There's no justice in the church. There's all kind of evil going on. What do you do about that? You attend anyway? You go out your way to find another church that may take you 2 hours to get to? What do you do about that? Well, you refrain from going to church until God leads you to one. And we believe there's something called the wilderness where he takes his people away from church for a season and works with them personally, away from other believers. And then he patches them up and then brings them to a place where they can fellowship with other saints. So it's not a sin, but they're going around telling people that they ain't in church, they're going to hell. That's a legalistic mindset. All right. Here's the next one. Beards and tattoos. You've heard it said, if you get a tattoo, you're going to hell. It's wrong. It's not of God. You've heard it said by so many Black Hebrew Israelites that you must have a beard. Don't cut your beard off. If you can grow one, let it grow. Don't cut it. You know, stuff like that. That's legalism. Let's deal with the beards first. The Bible says, don't mar the corners of your beard. All right. There's a passage in the Old Testament that talks about that. That sounds like, hey, you're cutting your beard. You're lining it up. You're trimming it. You're marring the edges. Mar means to destroy the corners. So if you're doing that, you're against God. Well, not necessarily. If you read that scripture in context, it talks about people cutting their hair, the edges of their head, which is basically a bowl cut. They were shaving off the sides of their head. And then they were making cuts in their arms. And they were also marring the edges of their beards. This was all in relation to a false god. They were worshiping demons. And these were the cultures around them. And God said, don't do what they're doing. They're doing that to please a demon. So don't follow their practices, you know, and get involved in demon worship and leading to you, you know, cutting your beard and all this kind of stuff and making tattoos in your skin and all that. So he said, don't do that. That's what he's talking about. Now, we see also in scripture where one of Solomon's sons, and I can't think of it right now. Basically, it mentions that he had refrained from washing his feet and trimming his beard for a season. And then, you know, so it implied that he does trim his beard and he does wash his feet, you know, and does change his clothes. And that's what we all do. We do trim our beards from time to time, do line them up. There's nothing wrong with that. So there's nothing wrong with that. So don't think that, okay, you know, uh-oh, if you don't have a beard, you're not in sin for that. If you shave your beard off, you're not in sin for that. If you have a beard, you're not in sin for having that. There's some cultures or some religions will tell you, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Muslims, the Black Muslims, with Farrakhan in them, will tell you, you know, you can't really have a beard. It's not something really acceptable. Now, they will say, yeah, you can have it. But as you see, every man has a bare face for the most part. Most men have a bare face with maybe a little mustache and a goatee. And they're rocking it like that because they have an ideology that somehow the beard is dirty and it's something like that. That's what's going on with them. That's a form of legalism with them. You know, even though some of them say it's okay, you can have it. Jehovah's Witness, same way. When I was a Jehovah's Witness with my parents, they made us chop off our sideburns and any connectors from our mustache to our goatee because they felt like that was wrong. And I'm like, why? And nobody could give me an answer. I'm like, well, Jesus had a beard. Why? How come we can't have one? I mean, so it's weird stuff that people get into. And that's what legalism is. It's just creating laws or finding laws in the Bible and just saying you have to do this. And if you don't do this, you're wrong. You're going to hell. Or you're not right with God if you continue in this practice. We need to get out of that, okay? The other thing is tattoos, okay? You shouldn't be tattooing your body because it's not yours in the begin with. You got no business cutting your body. You're harming yourself. You're destroying your skin. And then putting ink into the surface of your skin. He created you to have smooth skin, and that's the way you should look. It should be all brown. That's the way you're supposed to look. That's normal, all right? All this writing and lines and designs all in your skin, that's something of the world. The world is doing that. The world is saying, you know, I'm my own individual and I can do what I want, you know, with my body. When you become a child of God, you stop thinking like that, okay? Another thing about tattooing is not always healthy, okay? We've heard instances where people have gotten sick from that because the needle wasn't clean and stuff like that. But, you know, just say the needle is clean, you go to a professional and you get some great artwork put on your arm. You're not in sin for that. I'm not condemning anybody for having a tattoo or getting a tattoo after they're born again. But I will say that what possessed you to go get that tattoo after being born again? That's what I would say. Why do you feel the need to put markings on your body? God said don't do it, but I'm not condemning anybody. But I will say that somebody walking around with a bunch of tattoos after they're born again and they know the truth, for them to do that, they're following the spirit of the world. And I would say that they need to check themselves about that. But I'm not condemning them. I'm not saying they're going to hell for that. I'm just not, because it's not. We do a bunch of stuff. I mean, what if you have a surgery and you had to cut yourself? And God says, oh, well, this is my body, so you can't do anything to it. That's not what's being said here. Once again, the tattooing, the cutting of the hair, and the marring of the beard was all in one set of passages referring to people worshiping false gods, okay? And they were doing it specifically to these false gods. The demons had them do that, and then to, you know, for whatever reason. And so God was saying, don't do that. So that's why that law was given, all right? And today, we shouldn't do that. We should probably keep our hair a certain way. We should probably keep our beards as men. And then, you know, don't make no tattoos in your body. Don't do that. All right. Next, head coverings, makeup, and dress. This is particularly to the women. There's a movement where people, you know, specifically women are wearing head coverings and saying that this is making me modest. And that if women who specifically are married and are not wearing a head covering, they're in sin. They're not submissive, you know, and they'll pull up scriptures in the New Testament and the Old about head coverings and try to condemn people with that. When it pertains to submission to your husband, you don't need to have something on your head to represent that. There are women who have head coverings that don't submit to their husbands, so that don't mean anything. And there are women who don't wear head coverings who are submissive to their husbands. So it's not about wearing something to somehow signify anything. Forget that. Now, if you want to wear a head covering because you feel it makes you more modest, that's fine, but don't put that on nobody else. Don't make nobody else feel bad and try to say they're in sin. And I've seen women with head coverings, but the rest of their body is they're wearing leggings and they're wearing something that's hugging their body. So it's like, okay, you're still not modest. I can see everything you got going on, but you got this head covering on. It's legalism. And it's foul when you start to walk around proud, thinking you're better than other women, and you're submissive, and you're not like the world. No, you are legalistic, and you're fooling yourself to think that you're somehow better because you got something on your head. All right? Another thing is makeup for women. Some people say makeup, women shouldn't wear makeups, and they make all the women not wear makeup. And once again, it's not a sin to have makeup on them or not have makeup. They say, well, you know, Enoch, in the book of Enoch, the angels, it's revealed that the angels taught the women to have makeup, and these fallen angels were wicked, so it's wrong for women to have makeup. You know, and it's a harlot, you know. Jezebel put on makeup, and so if you put on makeup, you're in sin. Jezebel just put on makeup because she wanted to appeal to that man as he came to her, but it didn't work. It's not a wrong to have makeup on. Just because a wicked woman put on makeup doesn't make it wrong. There's another one, I digress a little bit, but the Jehovah's Witnesses, they say because John the Baptist got killed on a birthday, birthdays are evil. That's legalistic, and so they don't celebrate birthdays because John the Baptist got his head cut off at a birthday party. Absolutely crazy. So, you know, these belief systems behind makeup for women, it's not a sin for women to have makeup on. It's legalistic when you tell women they can't have makeup on. Because of that. Same thing with dress. Women must wear dresses. They must not wear the apparel of a man, which is pants. Okay? When some cultures, what men are wearing looks like a dress. Kilts look like a dress. You know? I mean, look. We have to look at the spirit behind the law. Okay? We know when somebody's effeminate and they're homosexual and they're wearing clothes for that particular reason. Of the other gender, and they're doing it in that spirit. We know that, and we can call it out, and you know, and say that ain't right. You shouldn't be doing that. If we get that person together, they'll begin to dress properly. However, We cannot go around making people out to be sinners and they're on their way to hell because the women are wearing pants. Okay? We can't do that. Continuing on. Another one is Bible versions. There are people in whole groups about King James only. And they're saying that if you don't study the King James, you are in sin. This is the only authorized Bible from God. Every other Bible is corrupted and not of God. And that's legalism. God inspired the word. And there are different translations out there. And he can speak through any version out there. Even the ones that have been corrupted by man. But over time, you know, as you study, he will show you, hey, this is a corrupted one. Once you get another version, this and that, you know. However, if you're only versions you got, that's what you're going to do. Or if you can't get one, he's going to show you that don't mean that. And he'll show you another passage where it's saying something different. You'll come to the understanding that this is what it really means. And so the point is, there is no certain version you should be reading. I personally read the King James Version as my foundational Bible, but I studied the New Living Translation, the Contemporary English Version. I even have the NIV that I quote out of every now and then, because that's the first Bible I got where I quoted and memorized scripture. So when I quote that scripture, I'm coming from that version. Now I got to change the way I remember that scripture, because that version, which is the NIV, is corrupted. No. So we got to get out of this thing where, you know, we're condemning people for not studying just the King James Version and all that kind of stuff. All right. And the final one is God's proper name. You know, some people will tell you, hey, man, God's name is Yah and Jesus' name is Yeshua. You can't use Jesus because that means Zeus and you're calling on Satan. And we ain't got time for that. We have an article about that as well. And basically what these people are doing is pronouncing God's name and his son's name in the original Hebrew language and saying that's the only way you can pronounce it. That's legalism, y'all. Because God gave languages. He's the one responsible for language. Where everybody began to speak something different at the Tower of Babel. He caused that. So his name and your reference to God and his son is going to sound different in every different language. And if it's translated a certain way, he knows who you're talking to if you're really talking to him. So we got to get out of this ideology that you have to say Yah, you have to say Yeshua and all this kind of stuff. That's the proper name. Do you know God? I don't care about, you know, proper pronunciations. I'm talking about, do you know him? Do you follow him and do you obey him? That's what it's about at the end of the day. So let's get out of legalism, y'all. We got to get out of legalism. But now that I'm done with all of that, why is it so easy for people to fall into legalism? Here's number one. Here's the one reason why people fall into it. It's easy for it. Legalism appeals to our flesh's desire for self-glorification and justification. It gives us a bunch of rules and we can say, hi, I'm a good person. I just followed all these rules. I know this. And I'm doing it, and I'm good. I pat myself on the back. I'm saying I'm justified before God because I follow these sets of rules, and I'm better than the rest. Your flesh is all into that. So anytime somebody comes to you and says, hey, just follow these rules, you'll be accepted by God, they'll eat that right on up. And that's why you got a lot of groups of people that's very legalistic, you know. Number two, usually these practices, while requiring discipline, are easy to do. But obeying God in the Spirit is much harder because it requires submission and acknowledgement of weakness apart from God. So we can't boast when we follow God at this point because he did the work through us. See, legalism is appealing to the flesh because you don't have to yield to the Holy Spirit to obey God. You can just follow a set of rules and say, I did this, I'm good. The flesh don't want to yield to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't want to die. It wants to live and do things its way. It wants to please God in its own power. And God is not accepting anything from the flesh. So we have to be very clear that the flesh will get in the way. The flesh wants to obey God too. It's not like so opposed to God, but he wants to obey God his way. And we got to say no. We have to say no to that. Okay? Number three. Yeah, you can fool yourself into believing you're righteous. That's what legalism does. It says, see, you did everything on the list. You know, you're wearing the head covering. You're on the Sabbath. You're taking your Sabbaths on Saturday. You're following all the feast days. You making sure you got fringes, you making sure your beard is a certain way. You got everything in place, you know. You're fooling yourself. You know, the flesh, but the flesh, you know, it's easy to fall into that, okay? It allows you to boast and inflate your ego, okay? And number five, if you're part of a collective group of people who are legalistic, you begin to feel like you are part of an exclusive group. You feel like you're better than the rest of the people. And so collectively, y'all can all walk around and say, we're better than the world. We're better than that church over there. We're the only church that does head coverings, and we're better than the rest. You know, and this is what's happening. And the flesh loves that. It loves to boost itself up and to feel exclusive and better than other people. Okay? The flesh is arrogant. And so that's why legalism appeals to the flesh. And that's why when our flesh is active, we can fall for this. But if we understand the spirit behind the law, we can protect ourselves from legalism. So legalism, at the end of the day, leads to sin. It leads to sin and destruction. You become arrogant. You condemn other people. And we know how God feels about that. You know, these legalistic practices get really, really difficult. You know, I got to have fringes every day. So now you come into the congregation of the Hebrews and you ain't got them on and everybody looking at you. I'm like, man, I forgot. You know, it's like, no, nah, man, you ain't sin, man. You know, so it's too much, you know, and it's bondage. It's bondage to not understand the law, to not understand the spirit of the law. So now you're just doing stuff. It's like this. Let's just say God says to study my word every day, meditate on it day and night. Okay, now I got to go, you know, take care of my family. No, I have to study the Bible. I can't take care of my family right now. I must study the Bible. See, that's what legalism is about. It's just, it makes you a robot where you have to do everything at this certain time, at this certain place, and just, it messes you up. And you can free yourself from this if you just understand the spirit behind the law. Okay? So that's how we get out of this. So if you've been practicing legalism in any kind of way, I would encourage you to repent. Tell God you're sorry. I've been doing this the wrong way. I've been looking at your word in a very concrete kind of way and not looking at the spirit behind everything. And Lord, forgive me. Wash me clean. Apologize to folk you've condemned and said you're going to hell for this. They're not going to hell. No longer will you condemn people for drinking, for eating pork, for using vulgarity, for having a tattoo, or wearing pants, or for women having makeup, or not using the King James only Bible, or not keeping the Sabbath on Saturday, and stuff like that. All right. So until next time, walk in the spirit. If you have not been born again, you feel like you're not right with God, read the gospel, confess your sins and repent, and he will transform you and begin to work in you, and you'll be blessed. We'll be right back.